In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom and Father Martin. I'm reading from the 24th chapter of Luke, verse 15. While they were talking, that's the two men, and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" And they stood still, knowing, they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place during these days?" He asked them, "What things?" Of course, he knew it happened to him. They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." Maybe we'll stop there for now. We had hoped. They were disappointed. Have you ever been disappointed in prayer? Have you ever been disappointed in your family? But the one who was walking with the two men, he's walking with you too. But not only is walking with you, he is walking in you. He is your Lord. And you know, we've all been disappointed. We've all had prayer answered. I remember the prayer answered when we needed benches for our church. I was going to buy chairs, and it was going to cost $60,000. And I said to the Lord, "Lord, I'll spend your money, but if you have benches for us, would you bring them?" And I got a call from Sister Margaret Catherine. She said, "I have benches for you." She didn't know my prayer. And I said, I want them. She says, "How do you know they'll fit?" I said, "They'll fit because I prayed about it and God sending them." And you know what? The benches that are in that place today, they were the benches that came through Sister Margaret Catherine. I tell you, I have been disappointed in prayer many times. But what does that mean? We continue to pray with faith despite the disappointment. We had hoped. We had hoped. I had hoped that there was going to be a great community here. I had hoped that things would be different than they are now, but they're not. So what happens? I've got to get over it in the name of Jesus. And I have to do what I need to do in the now. I had hoped there would be a community here. And you know what? There isn't. There is, we have people who believe, we have people who love me. That's not the issue. The issue is, I'm one coal on fire. I need other coals beside me and on me to put me on fire. But you know what? We do it anyway. We broadcast anyway, despite my disappointment. And I am disappointed, but you know what? Not so much that I'm not going to preach. Why? Because the Lord told me I was going to be a preacher and that I was going to let the word of God go among his people. We had hoped he was the Messiah. And you know what? He was.
The scripture says that their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. It's, you know, it's a little contradiction to those words that the apostles spoke to Jesus. They think everything about him. They say he's Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and work before God and all the people. You know, they know everything about Jesus, but still they don't know him. It's a huge difference between knowing about him and knowing him. It's a huge difference. And the eyes of apostles were completely blind because they knew everything about him, but they didn't know him. That's what happens when you really learn, and you sometimes you talk a lot about Jesus, and sometimes you want to share, you know, his good news with others, but still you don't spend time with him. You are not in this relationship, this friendship that makes you really know him, not by your mind, not by your intellect, only by your heart. And I believe that God is telling us today, just I don't know you to, I don't want you to just know about me. I don't want you just to know what I did or what happened yesterday or, you know, what's in the scriptures. He really invites us today to have this deep relationship, to know him better, to know him more, and to be hungry for this intimate relationship that is possible only by grace, only by his mercy. That's the same difference between knowing, you know, Jesus and knowing about Jesus. It's the same difference between working for God and working of God and doing things with him. It's the same difference. You can work for God, and you can always ask yourself, you know, what we need now, or what's important now, and you can go other way. You can say, Lord, show me. The first thing I want to do is just to ask for your grace. The first thing I want to do, I want to give my life to you. Before I start, I want to be confident. I want just to trust you. That's what Blessed Mother did. She didn't ask, you know, so let's do something. She didn't say, you know, let's do it. She said, I'm here, Lord. I'm here to fulfill your will. Whatever you want. That's the first step. Saint Therese of Lisieux, she used to say, I need to go to the chapel three times a day to give my life to the Lord and to tell him that I love him. I need to do it three times a day. Imagine, Saint Therese, she was a saint, she was a beautiful woman of God, and she said, I need to say it three times a day to put my life in his hands, three times a day, which means I need this relationship with Jesus. I have to go deeper into his love. I cannot do it by myself. I need this beautiful experience of his presence. So I'm just saying, Lord, it's me. I came just to do your will. Whatever you want, whatever you tell me today, I'm going to do it. I don't know what's your plan, Jesus, but I'm confident. I'm really trusting you. I'm trusting for my life.
It's all about experiential knowledge. Experiential knowledge. You see, Adam knew Eve, and in 9 months they gave it a name. It's a baby. We are called to have experiential knowledge. The scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good, not think and wonder. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, yes. I have prayed with people, and they come and say, I Jesus is in me. Jesus is in me. It's different. You know, not only do they know about Jesus, it's good to know about him, but it's better to know Jesus. Experiential knowledge, that's what we need. And that comes to hearing the word of God and living by faith in the grace of God. It's all about the grace of God. I told you yesterday we call it ordinary time, but it's not ordinary at all. It's time in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's time in the grace of God, the Lord God. We are living in the year of grace, and we will see God move as he can move and as he will move as we give him permission. Do you give Jesus permission over your life every day? Do you give him permission to say, yes, Lord? Yes, Lord, you can do what you want to do. I remember Betty Foley. I've said the story over and over again, but it was Holy Week. It was Good Friday, and she said in her prayer, I don't want to be like Peter, who denied you. And so she got on the train to get to the services in Boston, and there was this man preaching, and he was preaching about Jesus dying on the cross for people in the train, and everybody was just kind of looking with their faces down as if they didn't hear him. And then he pointed to my friend Betty. He said, "What do you think about Jesus?" And she said, "Jesus Christ is Lord." The door opened and she left. But she was not like Peter. She said, "Jesus Christ is Lord." Do you know that today? He's Lord over all that you are and Lord over all that you have. It is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women in our group, as they founded us, they were in the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body, there they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Isaiah 53. Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in the scriptures. Oh, the scriptures are so important. Talk about the scriptures with us, Father Martin, how important they are, that we know the scriptures, because to know the scriptures by grace is to know the Lord.
I remember one day I went to the psychiatric hospital to pray with somebody. It was a young guy who was really suffering with depression. And it was a few years ago, but I remember this hospital room. He was there with another man, and he was laying down, just looking at the wall, and he didn't want to talk much. So I went there, just said my prayer with him, and I was just trying, to ask him questions, but he didn't want to respond. It was kind of difficult for me to pray, but then I saw this man who was next to him, and he was waiting. He was on his bed, and he was like just waiting, till I finish my talk and my meeting with this young guy, and when I'm finished, he just turned to me and said, "Father, Father, Father, you have to tell me the truth." I said, "Okay, what's your question?" He said, "Father, will I be condemned if I commit a suicide?" So I look at him, and it was very, very hard. He suffered a lot. He said, I cannot sleep for days and weeks. I cannot sleep. I just want to rest. I just want to rest. I want to die, Father. What Jesus will do with me?" I said, "What's your name?" He said, my name is Thomas." I said, "Thomas, Jesus will never condemn you. He loves you. He loves you. There is no way he's going to say anything, against you. He's for you, never against you. But remember one thing I said. Remember those words from John chapter 10, verse 10. That Jesus came to save us. Never, never to steal your life. He's not a demon who is trying to steal and trying to kill. Jesus is different. He came to give you life in fullness." So I said, "Sit down now, Thomas. Write it down on your paper." He had a piece of paper at the little table next to his bed, and I said, "You have to write it down. You have to put in your heart this sentence. It's John 10, verse 10, and you have to You have to read it all the time, all the time. Whenever you have this temptation, you know, to think about suicide, just go to this word. That's the word of God. It's not my word. Jesus is coming to give you life in fullness. He's not going to, you know, kill you. He doesn't want to kill you. So he wrote those, you know, words, and I left, and I left also my number, my phone number. So he calls now every day, and he says, you know, Father, I'm doing okay today. I ask him, did you read the scripture today? Oh, I did. So I said, what's the word? And he's reading now from his hand, because he wrote it down on his hand, this very verse of the scripture. And then he's calling again and again and again and again. And one day he says, you know, Father, I don't have to read it anymore. I remember the whole thing. I remember the whole chapter now. So I can just, you know, preach to myself from the scripture. And you know, one day he just left the hospital. He was okay. He was okay. That's the power of the Word of God. That's the power of the scripture that really opens our eyes. Because that's the power of the Spirit that is beyond our imagination. It's not just the information. It's not the information about Jesus. That's Jesus who is talking to you, who is really delivering you from spirits and from your depression. He's by His word, He's healing your body, healing your soul. By His word, He's saving you. That's how it works. That's how it works. You can write down chapter 10, verse 10 of John. That's a beautiful promise. It's a beautiful promise. Because, you know, sometimes people take Jesus for demon and they think, you know, Jesus is, he's going to steal something from me. Or he has a bad plan for my life. Or he's going to put crosses on me. That's what people think. I always say, you know, on the cross, that he wants to carry, it's his own cross, and he was taking your cross, and he's receiving, you know, all your sins and your pain and your sickness on himself on the cross. So that's the power of the Word of God, and it's healing power. That's a deliverance in His Word, which we need now.
I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. How we need that life of God, which is grace. How we need the grace of God. How we need it. And you know what? You're hearing the Word of God today, and you're not feeling very good. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ, His heart was pierced for you. It's the first Friday today. We celebrate the heart of Jesus. What's her name?
Mary Margaret Alcott.
Mary Margaret Alcott. She experienced the Sacred Heart. She had a vision. And, you know, the words that come to me about the Sacred Heart is, behold the heart that has loved men and women so much and been little loved in return. Oh, yes. Why don't you just tell him, I love you, Jesus? Why don't you just tell him, I need you, Jesus? Why don't you just tell him, I want you, Jesus? Why don't you just tell him what's on your heart? The scripture says, were not our hearts burning within us as he walked with us and opened the scriptures and the prophets to us? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, we're not our hearts burning within us. We come to know experientially God through the Word of God, through the Word of God. And finally, what happened? They saw Jesus in the breaking of the bread, and he disappeared. And you know what happened to them afterwards? They went back to Jerusalem. They had left Jerusalem because they were sad. Now they went back to the community. We need communities filled with the grace of God. We need them. We need them. Communities that aren't afraid to talk about Jesus. Communities that aren't afraid to pray with people so that they would get better. Oh, yes. I received a call just today by a woman. So she came to Mass, and I prayed with her. Yes. I can't do what she needed me to do, but I could pray with her and believe that God was doing it. That God was doing it. So now we recognize Jesus in the Word of God, in the breaking of the bread, the Eucharist, and in the community. Oh yes, in the community, called the church.
You know why we need a community? Because God is a community. It's the main reason. And we love to be together. We love to be with brothers. We love to be with Jesus. And that's what happens when you can share and pray together and you can worship. And you know, it's not only because you need it, but because Jesus wants us to be like this. He wants us to be together. He wants us to be united. He wants us to be really praising and worshiping church. And you know, that's probably what we miss the most now in the church is it's the community life. We lost it because everybody is so independent now. Everybody has his own way now. So, you know, we are missing the heart of the gospel because we want just to run, you know, by ourselves and just do things by ourselves. And we all have great ideas, you know, thank God we do great things, but still it's not the will of the Father that we are alone. It's not the will of the Father that we are orphans. His will is to be together in the family of God, together with others, and praising Him and worshiping Him. That's why, you know, at the Last Supper, He said, you know, I pray that no one will get lost, no one, that we will be, all of you will be united, all of you will be together, praising Me, worshiping Me, sharing the good news, sharing your life, praying for each other. That's Jesus' desire. That's not just a dream. It's not just a vision. That's what's happening in the church. And I believe, you know, if we are not together, we just do things for God. And, you know, we're very busy doing stuff. But that's not the real church. That's not the real church. We need really to be united and to pray together and spend time and waste time for each other. Yesterday we had a beautiful meeting too, you know, we went to visit somebody, you know, we spent time. Usually we say, okay, let's go for 10 minutes, you know, meeting, or let's have coffee. But, you know, we spend 2 hours just sharing what God is doing with a beautiful woman who experienced really very difficult things, but also she experienced the mercy of God and the healing in her life, in her marriage. So we're just sharing, and we spent time. It was 2 hours at coffee shop. And I said, that's beautiful that we can sit down and we can talk, we can pray together, we finish with prayer. You know, that's it's all about. You know, you just have one person in front of you. You don't have to look for thousands. You don't have to think about great, you know, great crowds. You know, think about one person who is coming today. Maybe with somebody in the store, maybe somebody on the street who will come to you and just spend some time and say, you know, let's pray. Let's just say a little prayer with me. And I believe God is this way. He's building His body. He's building the church. This way we can go forward.
People have come to me and said, you know, my wife and I are drifting apart. And you know what I say? Every day you've got to take her by the hands and both of you pray the Our Father together. And you know what? It works. It works. Praying the Our Father together works. They then begin to touch each other's hearts. They're not drifting away from each other, but they're praying together. Now, it's a very simple prayer. It's the disciples' prayer. It's not the Lord's prayer. The Lord's prayer is the 17th chapter of St. John, that they would be one as I am one with thee and thou art one with me. As Father Martin said, the Trinity is a community. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I just want to end by saying you are loved. You are loved with an everlasting love. You are loved with the love of Jesus. And maybe you don't recognize it like the two men from Emmaus, but in all reality, Jesus Christ is with you. Jesus Christ is in you. Jesus Christ is for you. Oh, yes. And he's never going to be against you. Somebody told me, I was raised with an angry God. I said, well, that's not God. God is love, and he loves you, even unto death. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.